1240 AM, yeah. WSBC. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
Yes.
This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. There's one in Beverly. There's another one here in Bridgeport in Chicagoland. It's right next to Sox Park.
Yeah.
Fox's Beverly Pizza. Finest thin crust pizza you're going to find in the Beverly neighborhood. The one on Western Avenue. Flood Brothers Disposal. Best refuse guys in town.
They are indeed.
Guinness Irish Stout. You're thirsty? Have a Guinness. Or get a non-alcoholic Guinness. That's out now. Those double zeros are good.
They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. 0.0.
Yeah.
And finally, Madden Funds. You need financial advice? Call Mike or Dan Madden at maddenfunds.com. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me, as always, to my left twin brother, Billy.
What's up? Hello. Ooh,
but we're missing tonight the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clay O'Brien.
He's not.
A little family emergency.
His children are sick.
So it's back to Bill and Pat world.
Here we are.
Well, Bill, how's your week going?
Pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah, wasn't too bad. I got some good news on Tuesday, which was cool.
Yeah.
I took a new position at my company.
Congrats,
one that I was,
congrats.
Thank you. So I'm excited for the new adventure. Change is always good. I've gotten so good with it that it's become like a normal thing for me.
What, the constant job switching inside the company, the reorgs?
Not that, but also moving. I've moved a lot,
Oh, you mean household you've moved?
Yeah, job change, move change. I've almost found I haven't had a consistent 5 years of just the same. And that's actually a good thing.
You know what they say about success, Billy?
What's that?
You got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable if you want to keep moving and making things.
Well, I believe that, sir.
It's advice.
Well, thank you very much.
You know who gave me that advice?
Who's that?
Michael Lispy.
Michael Lispy. That's right. The motivational speaker, the great Michael Lispy.
That's right. He used to say, you got to get uncomfortable to be comfortable. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
He's right.
And you climb to the top. Tell us about the position. What are you doing?
So I'm what they call an account development specialist at Breakthrough.
Account development specialist.
So I assist sales consultants. And I am kind of a liaison between a supplier portfolio and our Breakthrough trade channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm only in one channel of business, which is the on-premise world, bars and restaurants.
So you're a professional smoozer and evangelist for the brands that you work for.
Yeah, I'm an evangelist for the brand. I can go and kind of help an account, do a promo maybe or set them up for some success.
Success.
That's right.
But
it's cool. It's a fun account. It's fun to work with different people every day, see different people's styles of selling.
Mike,
no,
it's a good question.
No, years ago for sure it would have been a suit and tie, but everything's gotten very casual now. So collared shirt and dress pants, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. You should start dressing as a cowboy.
Yeah, that would go over real nice.
They'd be like, there's no more dress code. Now it's Billy Cowboy time. Yeah. Walk around it like the Marlboro Man.
Yeah.
Cowboy hat, mustache, heater in your mouth.
Yeah, I don't think that
nice,
would,
you know.
That wouldn't be that good of a look for...
Maybe a lasso?
No, yeah. Why don't you apply for a sales job and become the Marlboro Man?
Well, I'm not in a position to do... You work for liquor brands.
Right.
You can develop a character. You're in a position to develop a character.
We had a guy years ago who used to wear this hat, and everybody just knew him as Jimmy the Hat.
There you go. Great marketing campaign.
But he didn't last very long with the company, I don't think.
Listen, I bought insurance from the Dart Man, all right?
Right.
One of the most successful insurance guys in all of Chicago for years.
Uh-huh.
His name was John Wadsworth. He's a good guy, all right? Called himself the Dart Man. He started making a lot of money with AXA. All right.
Sure.
And his trick was he went to Northwestern, but then he started going to Sports Illustrated when it was a brand new publication.
Right.
And advertising himself. All right.
Sure.
As the Dart Man. And he's like, you're on target with the Dart Man. And he always had he'd write his own copy and had good shtick where he would incorporate athletes into the ads with him.
Sure.
He had a thing. So the first time I ever met him, all right, yeah. I'm tending bar at a wedding.
Right.
This guy comes in. He's about 80 years old,
uh-huh.
Loud and chippy, right?
Yeah.
And he's got green sunglasses on, like green Wayfarers.
Uh-huh.
Our dad even wears those kinds of glasses now. But they're worn to draw attention, right?
Of course.
So I'm like, okay, this guy's got a shtick. I love this guy. He's 80, right? Uh-huh. Hey, how are you? I'm the Dart Man. I'm Dart Man, you know? And everybody's calling the guy Dart Man at the whole event. Hey, Dart Man. You know, like, even if it was his granddaughter, she'd be like, hey, Dart Man, you know?
Uh-huh.
He had branded himself as Dart Man.
Yes.
And so I ended up, I was working during the day. I met him after that wedding. He introduced me, because you're on Target. I'm the Dart Man. He'd give you a plastic dart, one of the ones that you could lick and throw at a mirror.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it said his name on it, Dart Man. And then, like, the number to call to get it, to buy a life insurance package off.
Sure. Right?
Anyway, hey, it worked on me.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's got a shtick. He's 80. You know, except he was wealthy. You know, he had like a driver. You know, I was like, this is great. What a character. What a like little business titan that this guy had created for himself.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you're in a position now because you've been with a company long enough, right?
Okay.
That you can create yourself. You could be Cowboy Bill.
Yeah, I don't know though. I mean, people would definitely call me out and go, well, what's with all of a sudden you and wanting to be a cowboy?
You'd say, because I am a cowboy, and we're all going to mount up now and make some money together, you know? And then, okay. So buy into the shtick, yahoo.
Oh, wow.
That's, I mean, if they don't want to buy into the shtick, then they don't understand sales.
So am I cow, but do I have to maintain the character of cowboy outside of work?
Absolutely. You're Cowboy Bill for that.
See, that's too much of a commitment.
But you get to become a multi-millionaire.
I don't care. You
don't want to create a character for yourself and just be Cowboy Bill?
I don't want to be like a urban cowboy. So you're talking like a guy who's just living in an urban area dressed as a cowboy? I don't want that. Sorry, Mr. Travolta.
It's not Travolta. It's John Voight. Is it Travolta in Urban Cowboy?
Yeah, he's an urban cowboy. Thank you, Mike, for backing me up on that.
I'm thinking a Midnight Cowboy. Sorry. Yeah. Now we're getting our cowboy films mixed up. But you can see. You can see that it is on your mind, Bill. You like the idea.
Well, I like the idea of being a cowboy. Everybody wants to be a cowboy every now and then.
Everybody does want to be a cowboy. One place I know that you can't be a cowboy is the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub.
Oh, okay.
So, we're presented by the Cork and Kerry, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be a cowboy. Go to the Cork and Kerry. And get yourself a drink and tell them the Hoolies sent you. Or tell them Billy Cowboy sent you. But don't act like a cowboy while you're there. We'll be back after these messages.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Hey, listeners. I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. and you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Oh. Sing it, Paula. Sing it. Whatever happened to her? Nothing. I listen to her every night, dude. This is what you play right after you get your job and make your announcement to everybody. I'm Billy Cowboy.
Okay.
I'm making a transitional move. This is my theme song. Enjoy it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's by Paula Cole.
Yes, it is. Where have all the cowboys gone? Was that in a show?
She wrote that song about all the former trader floor traders on the Chicago at the Chicago Board of Trade.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Is that what that was about?
That's what that song's about. Nobody realizes it.
It's about when the board went public.
It's about when screens hit.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know.
Right.
Put it together.
All the cowboys were getting eliminated.
Where have all the cowboys gone?
Yeah.
Eaten by tech.
Tech eats cowboys, don't they?
Tech does eat cowboys.
You got to be a cowboy in the tech world.
Ooh, how do you do that?
I don't know. I'm not that technical knowledgeable.
We can tell. That's a Michael Lispy thing.
You got to be a cowboy in the tech world. Be a cowboy.
Yeah. You got to be that a cowboy. Well, what would be the proper word there? Technologically advanced? Is that it?
technologically advanced.
Yes. That's a hard one to pronounce.
It is.
Technologically. Say mm-hmm. it 10 times.
Well, when you have our nasally Chicago accents, yeah. where we lisp and talk out of the side of our mouths, a word like technologically can be challenging at times.
Yes, it can.
Where have all the cowboys gone? Where have they gone?
They're around.
I know.
They're on the radio. They're telling jokes.
That's right. Exactly. We're here. Cowboys in spirit.
Sure.
Anyway, it's summer here now.
Yeah. I was kind of a cowboy last Friday.
Were you now?
I went cowboying at the Goodwill.
Oh, a Goodwill cowboy.
I actually went to, in a matter of, oh my gosh, let me think about this. Because then I went, was it Monday after work? Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
Talk it through, Bill.
I went by, yeah, was it Monday? What did I get? Yeah, so it was Monday after work. Friday, I went to two different Goodwills. Okay.
This is like, routine for you, though.
Yeah, so I was like, it was 5 o'clock. I'm like, oh, I got 2 hours. I got this Goodwill here and that, and I'll see if I could find any gems.
Yeah. All right? You went thrift hunting.
Found one, a specialized dirt bike.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Like, listeners, it's Bill's favorite condition. New thing.
All right. And I was like, oh. And I like got on it, and I'm like, I'm probably a little too big for it, but I'm like, my nephew Mikey might like this. And it was $28. And it was, and then I found myself being like the secondhand thrift guy. Like, let me Google this right now. What's the name? It's called the Fat Boy.
Mm-hmm. Specialized Fat Boy bicycle, BMX bicycle for boys.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It's I believe.
Or is it just for adults?
I don't. It's adults can do ride a bike.
Everybody. It's for everybody.
Yeah. But it's got the. I think it's the 2002 model.
Okay.
But they sometimes those retail for like more than $350-$400.
Yes, so it's a score for you.
So used ones even go for like $250.
Oh, Mike has a picture. Mike Sarkowski has a picture.
Well, that's not exactly the model. Like, yeah, it doesn't have the Fat Boy tires like that. But you have to, yeah. If you Google into a harder Google search or images, you'll find it. That looks more.
All
like
right,
a
so on with this. So the I listeners find that, don't care,
right?
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, you know, this woman. Comes to me outside in the parking lot, and she was like, can I ask you a question?
Oh, after you bought the bicycle?
And I was like, yeah. She's like, how much did you pay for that?
That's when you knew. That's when you knew you had just killed it.
Yeah, and I was like, $28.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yep.
She was like, wow. And I was like, just looked it up online. She's like, I saw you on your phone, you know? And I was like, it made my Friday.
Yeah? Did you go, like, it's because I'm a cowboy.
It's because I'm a cowboy. I got in the car, started up, and Bon Jovi's Cowboy just started ripping.
Yeah, as you loaded a children's bicycle into the back of your
as
Buick.
As I loaded it into the back of my Buick and drove to the, which one did I go to after that? The you Downers drove to Grove.
You went from one Goodwill score, and you were like, no, I got to go hunting again.
Yep.
I'm not done yet.
Yep. Didn't have as much success at the second stop. Didn't really find anything that was but on Monday,
yes,
I also went hunting after work.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, Mike has a note. Who's the
I got the bike.
Oh, Bill's got the bike.
Oh, I got it. It's in my storage space.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'll gift it to his son. But I kind of want to trick it out and have some fun with it myself. Like, I'm going to put some new tires on it.
I know. Listeners, listen.
Some new grips. It's got the dice for, like, the air. Oh, it's got the little blue dice that match the frame. It's hot.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's nice. It's like something Peter Billingsley would have been riding around on in 1987.
No,
it's rad.
It's rad, yeah.
No, well, listeners, this is how I found out Bill got the bike. Bill is the neighbor above me. Bill and I live in the same building. He lives in the condo above me. I live below.
Uh-huh.
All right. We were up in your apartment. You had gone out for the night, right? And I fell asleep. The kids went, we all fell asleep in your apartment on the couches. And you came home kind of late. And
I went out and had a few drinks to celebrate my victory.
Yeah. And you come in and you go, hey, what are you doing here? And wake me up, like, I completely sound asleep. I wake up and I'm like, oh, wow, it's like 1 a.m. I can't believe we're falling. We fell asleep watching a movie down here.
Yeah.
And you're like, look at this. I got a bike. I'm like, what? It's like, I got a bike. It's in the car. And so you're half loaded. And you're like, look at this thing. You were so happy.
And you were like, Mikey's going to love this.
Yeah, it was a big score. He did like it, but he's a little bit too small for it, I think, right now.
Yeah.
But if he grows, that's why I was like, let me have fun with this for, you know, make it a little project and trick it out so that when he does grow into it, he is the sexiest guy in the world on that thing. He is a cowboy.
Yeah. I wouldn't call any seventh graders sexy in the world.
You know? Why? When I was in seventh grade, I wanted to think of myself as possibly sexy.
You did?
Who doesn't?
I don't know if I even knew what sexy meant. Handsome? I still don't.
You didn't think you were handsome?
Sure, I did.
Okay, that's, you know, he's a sexy, handsome guy.
That's anyways, such a creepy thing to say.
Anyways, yeah. I go to, on my last hunt, this was Monday. I was like, my success was so nice on Friday. Let me check this one out because it was close to one of my accounts at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in there and I'm perusing, and there are sections at Goodwill where there's just like shelves of just junk. Mm-hmm. All right. Like there might be some sporting good stuff, and then next to it is just like maybe some housewares. And then maybe you got like a section that's for like, you know, home improvement type stuff, you know. Anyways, in the middle of like where the golf clubs were, I always like to check the golf club to see if somebody left a gem, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Was there a nice club in here? And I look above like the shelf where the golf clubs are. And on the shelf is a box set, okay? And it says the box set of the movie Showgirls.
Oh.
The VIP edition. And of course I'm like looking around like,
yeah,
if I pick this thing up.
Who's the guy who directed Showgirls?
Somebody's going to think kind of, it's got Elizabeth Berkley in it.
Yeah.
Right? So then I open up.
Is it Paul Verhoeven?
Okay.
Paul Verhoeven did RoboCop, which is a gem too.
So there it is, guys. I'll show you guys a picture. I'm showing them the picture of this box set, right?
Right. Elizabeth Berkley.
Yes. It says, a one-of-a-kind experience. You won't be disappointed on the side of the box. That's what the Washington Post said about Showgirls at one time. They wanted $12.99 at Goodwill for this thing.
Yeah. Well, it is in mint. Looks like it's mint.
It was in mint condition. I opened it up, and inside it, there was
a poster of Elizabeth Berkley and Kyle MacLachlan.
There was a poster of her.
Yep.
And then there was a deck of cards, Showgirls cards.
Ooh.
Of course, I tried to bend the card a little bit to see if they had any of the Showgirls on the card itself. No, it just says Showgirls on it. And I was like, oh, that's disappointing.
Yes, it is.
And then they had, I think it was a glass. Like a rocks glass that said Showgirls. And I was like, well, that's kind of hot.
Ooh, that is kind of hot.
But there it
is. Hey, Bill, you know what that is?
What?
Sexy.
It's very sexy. So, yeah, Showgirls, there it is. That was, and then I was.
So did you buy it?
No.
Oh.
I was like, what am I going to do with this? First of all, they wanted $13 for it. And I was like, eh.
You know what you do? You put it right on the mantle of your bar so that everybody comes in and goes, oh, it's a cult classic.
Oh, yeah. When Showgirls came out, we were probably in, like, what, seventh or eighth grade, maybe?
I don't know.
Hey,
when was the last time you remember what year it was when Showgirls came out? What grade were you in?
Well, it might have been in, like, sophomore year of high school because we grew up with Elizabeth Berkley on the bell.
We did. Hey, yeah? Maybe that's your shtick, Bill.
What's that?
Your cowboy Bill and your opening sales line to every rep you ever meet is, like, before we talk business.
Uh-huh.
I want to ask you something.
What's that?
What grade were you in when Showgirls came out?
Yeah, right. Exactly. How did you react to that
film? I was in seventh grade. Nice to meet you, Cowboy Bill.
Yeah. How did that film affect you emotionally?
Yes.
Were you stimulated by the film?
Made me think that the world is full of possibilities, Bill.
Yeah, there's some funny scenes in Showgirls. Oh. I can't remember the name of the African-American actor who like teaches her how to dance.
Oh.
And like they have kind of a little affair, and then she's with Kyle MacLachlan for a little bit.
I don't remember.
Gina Gershon is evil, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an interesting plot. Glenn Plummer. Oh, wow. I haven't seen him in much since, but at least that I would. He's more of a character actor, you know?
Hey, hashtag Glenn Plummer.
But if I saw him.
Shout out to you, pal.
If I saw him, I'd be like, Showgirls.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as you walked in the room.
Right.
So that was my kind of brought back memories. I think I remember like throwing on Showgirls with like some of my goofball friends and being like, here it is. You know?
Yeah, it was a big thing because of Elizabeth Berkley, you know, because she had played Jesse Spano. And then she graduates into that kind of a dangerous role. But now, like,
I got to see Jesse Spano naked.
Yeah, I don't think she's naked in the movie, though. Maybe topless?
Yes, she is.
Okay, yeah. All right. We've got to call Mr. Skin now to get the stats on this.
Between that and Basic
compared
Instinct,
to today's actresses, you know, we got Miley Cyrus, we got all these people, all the Disney stars go and do a little bit of soft porny now. They're like, I'm dangerous, you know, I want to be a serious actor.
Oh, so that means you gotta get dirty.
That means you gotta be a cowboy.
Wow, I feel like we should play Kid Rock's cowboy or Bon Jovi's. I don't know which one is better.
Neither.
So yeah, that was my thrifting hunt for the week.
You know what? We do have a song queued up though.
Okay.
A little Talking Heads. This must be the place. Maybe right. Goodwill is the place. You know,
brings comfort to people,
especially in today's world.
Out of all those times. It's time now for the Norwood Scale, a hard-hitting and honest discussion of all things hair loss. Emerging technologies, socioeconomic implications, crazy folk remedies. Presented through the generous support of the following: the Jonathan Dorito Talent Agency, Goodwill Industries, and the National Confectioners Association. Now, your hosts and moderators, Patty Houlihan and William Houlihan.
Welcome to the Norwood Scale, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this.
I have. This is a new segment, right?
Uh-huh.
I hope our listeners enjoyed that at the top there. That's courtesy of Mike Sarkowski. It's
yeah.
A beautiful thing.
Yeah.
We are going to do a little balding talk.
Oh.
I've just
indulge me.
Indulge you? You ever go on Reddit?
Yes.
Okay. If you're suffering from balding, you know, or alopecia, you know, these things,
right?
It can be very, you know, can wound a man's soul, you know.
Jada Pinkett knows this, and she's a female.
Yeah, we talk about this on the program a lot. Yeah. I've discovered a form. It's called Trestless.
Excuse me? It's a forum.
Yes, it's called the Trestless Forum.
Okay.
It's about all things hair loss.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And they have whole, you know, subgroups of, you know, guys fighting it, progress pictures. I mean, I get a thing on my phone.
I've given up.
Yes. I had a Reddit alert. I can't figure out how to turn it off.
Yeah.
But every time there's a new Trestless post,
okay,
my phone dings, right? And I swear to God. Like, I'll get a ding on my phone, like, in the middle of an important business call or meeting, you know?
Yeah.
And it'll say, like, 6 months min microneedling progress photo, you know, from Ricky D in Montreal.
And they're unbelievable results.
Sometimes
always.
They're great, sometimes they're fake, right? And it's hard to tell, you know. You get so encouraged, you know? You really do.
Yes.
But that has become a source of hope for me. And I'm hoping that the listeners who also suffer from this, you know, because it turns into a mental thing.
I have a buddy of mine who got one of those helmets.
He's got a laser helmet?
Yeah, he bought a laser helmet. He said it cost about $1,000.
See, that's crazy. And, you know, that I think, you know, I'm and they always say this, and I'm going to say it on the show. I'm not a doctor. I think most of you people know that.
Right.
I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I am, however, a cowboy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a hair cowboy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm going to come up with all kinds of different things to throw at it.
Right.
This week. So today's tip of the week.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, apparently vitamin D3, that component.
Right.
Very good. Some guy had his post the other day, all natural. All right. Uh-huh. 6 months, you know, his progress.
Uh-huh.
He's been eating vitamin D3. He takes zinc. Uh-huh. And he says he eats 2 bags of broccoli a week because there's something in broccoli, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's lots of myths. And as this series progresses.
Do I have to eat the broccoli or can I take Balance of Nature?
We don't know. Maybe there is.
Can I get those veggie pills?
Yeah. Veggie pills. How'd you get your hair back? Veggie pills.
You know? Fine.
This is obviously a thing that men are always going to have to go through.
Yes.
Until that you go, unless you get the hair transplant. And there's a lot of photos of those guys, too.
Right.
And you go, would I ever do that? You know?
Yeah.
Am I insecure about it that I got to get it fixed?
I saw a friend on Facebook today who's bald and said, would people think anything less of me if I did the restore thing like Brian Urlacher?
Not at all. Not at all.
And some people are like, you be you. You know, other people are like, well, you be you. You know, if you're a cowboy, you might say, then you be me being me, just give my hair back. You know, and other people might say, me being me is bald.
Yeah.
Right? It could go.
I was trying to see where you were going there.
Yeah.
You were just like, you be you, me be me. Sounded like we were in a foreign country for a moment.
You be you.
Yeah. What are they talking about over there? They're talking about balding. You be you, me be me. You be you, you be me.
Is that what the foreign doctor, the foreign dermatologist who, you know, says to the client, you be you?
Maybe. You know what I think it is?
What?
It's some sort of berry that they're going to find in the Amazon.
Really?
Yeah. UBU.
Why does it have to be in the Amazon?
Oh, because that's where they find the cures to things, you know? The UBU, UB me berry. The UBU berry.
The UBU berry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the tip of the week, folks, is take some vitamin D3 if you're balding. That'll help you. A little zinc.
Okay.
And if you can find it, a UBU, UB me berry on the internet.
Yeah.
All right.
Get me some of those UBU berries.
Oh. Well, that's been this episode of The Norwood Scale.
Yeah.
I hope you listeners have enjoyed. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back right after these.
Hey, listeners. I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. And you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the Southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hang in there! We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolie. Stay tuned!
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western.
Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Oh, right said Fred.
Yeah.
I'm too sexy.
Uh-huh.
You're too sexy, Bill. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're kind of starting to look like one of those guys in the videos.
Oh, you jerk. Oh,
those guys did
those guys were ripped, though, weren't they?
Sure.
I don't know. They were very European looking. That's all I remember.
Yes, you
know,
they were.
Like netted half shirts and black jeans, tight black jeans.
Hey, that was sexy in the 90s.
They were like the opposite version of Manilian Vanilli. What are they?
Manilian Vanilli?
Yeah.
Milli Vanilli. I like Manilian Vanilli better. You know why?
Who are those guys? Manili and Vanilli.
Couple of cowboys.
Are they from, two guys from Melrose Park, Manili and Vanilli?
Yeah, couple of cowboys from Melrose Park, Manili and Vanilli. You know them? Got a real problem with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, I met Milli Vanilli.
You did?
I said they were like the right said Fred was like the opposite of, of those guys. They were more kind of. They were the type of guy that could take one of those guys and squash their head off like a bug.
All right, this bit is done.
Okay. I think the best thing we got out of it was Manili and Vanilli.
Yeah, and the UBU berry,
Okay.
The guys from Right Said Fred used to eat a lot of UBU berries, if you know what I mean. They were cowboys. Look at them. Oh, Mike's got a picture of them pulled up. They look a lot different. Were they twins, Mike?
I think they might have been.
Were the guys from Right Said Fred twins?
Yeah, I think they were.
That's the quiz question of the evening. Right?
On Jeopardy?
Alex, I'll take 90s pop for 500.
Yeah, they might have been. They were twins.
Oh, Right Said Fred were twins. That's why we're channeling them, Bill. It's in the cosmos.
Maybe we should have them on the show.
Maybe we should be them for Halloween.
Oh, wow. That'd be pretty good.
Or maybe we should just become Right Said Fred impersonators during the weekends to make some dough.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
put
it right on our LinkedIn profiles. Host of the Hooli Hooli, owner of Buns Tampa, and we also are Right Said Fred party impersonators.
Okay, that works. And then we could have two of our Italian buddies play Manili and Vanilli as our opening act.
I think we're onto something real big.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely.
Manili and Vanilli opens up for the...
I can see the poster now. Attention, all cowboys! Manili and Vanilli opening for the Hooli Brothers as Right Said Fred. This Thursday at the Taste of Elmwood Park. Starts at 7 p.m.
Yeah, why
not? Don't be late.
Yeah.
Interesting. Here's some crazy news.
Okay.
Which I'm kind of delighted about. And I just saw it during the break. I didn't even know. This is from the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh,
Hollywood Reporter.
Okay.
Norm Macdonald shot a secret final Netflix stand-up before passing away.
Oh, wow.
One of modern comedy's greatest talents made one final stand-up special before he passed away, and it's been kept a secret until now. Norm Macdonald, who died last September at the age of 61, privately shot an unreleased one-hour stand-up special. The acclaimed Saturday Night Live actor, comedian known for his deadpan delivery, was diagnosed with cancer in 2012 but kept his illness private. He was working on new material for a Netflix special when he had to go into the hospital in the summer of 2020. All right.
Okay.
his test results were not good. So during the heart of COVID-19 pandemic, and literally the night before going in for a procedure, he wanted to get this one on tape, just in case, as he put it. Things went south, said Lori Jo Hoekstra, McDonald's longtime producing partner. It was his intention to have a special to share if something happened.
Wow. All right.
So this is pretty genius. The result was a stand-up special shot in McDonald's living room. The actor filmed the entire hour in a single take. He looks great and the material's fantastic, Hoekstra says. As it turned out, McDonald made it through the medical procedure just fine, and the footage was literally tossed in a closet. But McDonald became very ill a year later, before his special could be properly filmed before an audience. He ended up getting sicker last August and September, and he remembered that he had shot this and asked Hoekstra to find it so he could watch it. He ended up watching it before he passed away. McDonald even suggested a characteristically self-deprecating title for the hour. It's called Nothing Special. Oh. Netflix will release the surprise program, Norm McDonald, Nothing Special, on May 30th.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah, well, you're a big Norm fan.
I am.
Yeah.
A big inspiration to my sense of humor.
Well, so, that should be cool.
Yeah, man, I'm pumped about that kind of stuff. Especially, you know, the news we get lately is like, oh, and then something like that. And I was like, oh, that's so cool.
You know what? You talk about Norm MacDonald and, like, his passing and everything, and just because you mentioned, obviously, someone death, shall I say.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I found myself, I was going through my camera recently, and it's been happening to me a lot lately. And I didn't think they were down in Florida that much because they're actually the Illinois state bird here.
Mm-hmm.
But within the last maybe like 2 years,
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing cardinals everywhere.
Very interesting that you just said that.
Like I saw, like I took a picture of one in Florida that was like right in front of me, and I was like, "Are there really cardinals down here, or am I getting a sign?"
Right.
And then we went back to the place we were staying, mm-hmm. and I was outside there, and I saw one. I was like, "Okay, that's two
cardinals in Florida."
In Florida. And I was like, all right. And then, like, outside on my, like, where I stand, you know, in my back doorway, where mm-hmm. at my place, on the porch area,
mm-hmm.
I'll stand out there and I'll see cardinals, like, every morning.
Yep.
And I'm like, is somebody trying to connect with me here?
Absolutely. I saw one driving the other day, and I was going down Washington Boulevard, heading into Melrose Park, Bill. Okay?
Yeah.
And I saw one on a tree, and Mikey was in the back seat, and he goes, look, cardinal, you know?
Uh-huh.
And we both saw it. And then Mikey asked me about that exact thing that you're talking about, right?
Right.
He was like, well, what's the big deal about cardinals? And I'm like, oh, there's kind of a thing and a myth about cardinals that if you start to see them, it's someone that might have been very close to you or a dear loved one in you know, heaven or the afterlife trying to say hello.
Yeah, to reach out.
Right.
For sure.
And Mikey was fascinated by that.
Mike concept. Has pulled up the map of like,
where you can find
them, and they're pretty much in the Midwest to the northeastern and down to Florida. They're,
yeah,
and, you know, you can see actually
all the way into
like
Mexico,
all the way into Mexico,
South America. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's interesting, but you're not going to see them in California. It doesn't look like. It looks like maybe near over there in Baja. Maybe I don't know if that's what I'm looking at, but
there you go, the cardinal map. But interesting, Bill.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. But that's why I thought that kind of reminded me of that when you brought that up.
About the Norm MacDonald
yeah.
thing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We're in the full swing of baseball season with my Mikey, but what are the Sox doing here? We'll talk Sox Cubs.
I don't know. They were playing the Yankees tonight as when they were down when we left. I don't know. Tough to. They got to get healthy. They got to get Lance Lynn back.
Yeah.
But it's a long season.
It is, but that awful loss the other night to Cleveland.
Oh, my gosh.
Just that meltdown was brutal. I went to bed. I thought they won. I went to bed.
I know. I remember you were watching it with me. And then I stayed up. I ended up being up until almost like 11:30.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I can't believe I stayed up to watch, like, I don't know. There were some questionable managerial decisions that I was like, I don't understand why you pitch to a guy who's already hit a grand slam. And a RBI double the inning before.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing? There's two outs. Walk them.
Yeah.
But, hey, coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's early in the season. Everybody makes mistakes. I think the Sox are talented enough that once they come to full health,
mm-hmm.
which hopefully, you know, will be around July at this point, it looks like.
Yeah.
They'll have enough firepower to get to where they need to be. Are they a World Series team? I certainly don't think so right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, you know, the Bears just, they've been unloading a lot of talent and signing wide receivers like crazy.
Yes, I've noticed.
It's like, that must be one, there's going to be one heck of a tryout at wide receiver for the Bears this year.
Well, yeah, I kind of like the tear down and rebuild. I'm like, all right.
They really are. They're like, they're tearing it down. Mm-hmm. So that it ought to be, they're not going to be that great, I don't think, but it'll be fun to see who stands out for them.
For so sure.
That's kind of cool.
So you're getting Bear fever, and the Sox are already, you know, and the Cubs, we've barely started with them. The Cubs are having a hard time right now. They're tanking. And yeah. I don't know. That actually surprises me. But it's interesting is that, you know, these first two couple months of baseball season are like, in many ways, make or break kind of deals. Mike has a note. The Angels, what about them, Will?
They're playing well. They're playing very well. You know, I don't, they've got a lot of talent over there. But we'll see. You know, it's, if they can stay healthy, they'll be there. But, you know, I'm not going to worry about any of this stuff until August. I mean, for the Sox, they need to be either two games back, three games back maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're only three games back by July, they'll win the division. If they're in first place, like, I almost get nervous. Like, if they had, like, you know, remember in 05 when they almost collapsed and then won it and then went on that tear in the playoffs. But that whole month of September was ugly for them. So it just goes to show, like, you know, they don't play 162 games for nothing, you know. So I'm excited, yes, and I haven't gone to a game yet.
Me neither.
But I'll get there pretty soon now that the weather's turned a little bit. The heat has been like, it's a different kind of heat here than when we were down in Florida. You know what I mean?
A little muggier.
A little bit more muggier. And I had bug, like, I looked at my legs. I haven't looked at my legs for.
Yeah, you got bug bites on your legs.
I had, like, bug bites all over from Florida. You know what, Bill? I didn't know it.
You know what? That's not very sexy.
No way.
No.
No. But cowboys do get bug bites.
No, they don't. They've got protective gear. They wear jeans.
You don't think a cowboy gets a bug bite every now and then?
Not a serious. They don't get bug bite legs. There's no cowboys with bug bite legs. Are you nuts?
We'll have to ask somebody who's a cowboy if he's ever had lots of mosquito bites. Probably on his face.
Ask Tony La Russa. He's a cowboy.
We can ask Tony.
Yeah.
Hey, you ever have a lot of mosquito bites, Tony?
Yeah.
After the Sox lost. That's what somebody should have asked him after the
that's what you do
if the collapse. Hey, how come you didn't walk that guy Naylor on the Indians? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. I didn't want to ask that question. Have you ever had a lot of bug bites, Tony?
Right. Pardon me, Coach La Russa, Cowboy Billy from the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. I noticed you have a lot of bug bites. Everything okay?
Yeah.
You know, cowboys get bug bites, Billy.
Anyway. That's right.
It's the heat of baseball season for my Mikey.
Yes.
I'm kind of starting to get into it.
Yeah, I saw a lineup card that you had left in my apartment the other day, and I was like, mm-hmm. looking at the names of these kids, and I was like, what is this?
Well, it's been a battle for me and Mike to, like, get him, like, I really want him to like it. I just can't tell if he does, you know? Because I can see his potential, you know? Like,
right.
If he cared, he'd be really good.
Yeah.
But I just don't think his attention span is there yet to, like, be able to hang out in the field. And they're still young. I forget that. They're 7 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. They're picking dandelions in the outfield and looking around. And I'm like, Mike, pay attention. Fly ball, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody ever, very rarely do any of these kids ever catch fly balls, right? Okay. And they try to throw it to first. It always goes over the first baseman's head.
Me and you were very competitive, though, at that age for some reason.
Yeah, Mike has a good question. Am I still helping out? Yeah, I tried. Today I helped out at practice, and I felt kind of like, should I be doing this? You know, like, are the other coach, like, you don't know how the other, like, am I making the other coaches mad by just volunteering to be there?
Right.
Or are they like, you know, mm-hmm. we don't need you here. I don't want to be like Chelsea Ross and Hoosiers, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
Ali!
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be that guy who's like, you better make this team good or I'll personally strap your ass to a pan rail.
Yeah.
Whatever he says.
Yeah, definitely.
It's one of the greatest lines in movie history.
Yeah, and then he says, leave the ball.
Yeah, leave the ball.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Today, Mikey had his practice, and we showed up. And I was there to drop Mike off, but I had my glove on me.
Mm.
And I walked up to the dugout, and I was like, yeah.
With your glove?
Yeah. I was like, I'll help out today if you need it, you know? Yeah. But I didn't even say I'll help out. I just walked to first base.
You know? Oh, no.
Yeah.
But I was trying to be helpful. I wasn't trying to be intrusive. I could, you know, I just tried to assert myself into the situation because it's chaotic with all these 7-year-olds and trying to keep their attention, you know? Uh-huh. And they were doing infield practice, and I'm like, I know that these kids are going to throw the ball over the first baseman's head every single time.
So you're going to back it up.
So I just sat there and backed it up, you know, so the kid doesn't have to keep running for the ball. So
that's
fine. Try it again.
Yeah.
I felt pretty good about it. But, I think it gives Mikey assurance that I'm into it, you know, and I got his back, you know. Like, yeah. I guess that's part of me wanting him to like it more, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because just trying to get your kids off the devices and the games, you know.
Yeah.
Like Mikey idolizes like gamers the way that I idolized like Jose Canseco.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And that bugs
me. Or Roger Clemens.
Yeah, whoever. You know, you had baseball heroes.
We both named guys that got in trouble for, you know, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, like I had a competitive, I don't know, when you're a young kid.
No, I mean, he's competitive on the computer games, too. He's actually quite good at them.
It's a different generation, though. We didn't have that tech. That tech didn't exist. I mean, it did to a small capacity.
Capacity, yes.
When we were, 7 years old? No, there was no internet. There was no Game Boy.
Right.
I think Nintendo didn't come out until like maybe a year later or right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you flexed your muscles as a kid by outperforming your peer in sports. That's the, you know, like just the same way you try to crush them in a video game.
Right.
I don't think the kids
got to be a cowboy.
I don't think the kids are that like have that competitive anymore. They do.
Well, I think they do, but it's me trying to navigate without being, you know, you don't want to be the dad from the Bad News Bears, right? Where you're like forcing the kid to play and he doesn't like to play.
Okay. I mean, coach of the Yankees in the Bad News Bears, that guy?
Yeah, it's Vic Morrow?
I don't know. He's looking at Mike like Mike should know the name of the actor.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
It was Jennifer Jason Leigh's father.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Vic Morrow.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah. You're good.
Anyway, I don't want to be like that. But I took Mike to the park to practice, you know, after school the other day. I was like, hey, we're going over to Keystone to hit some balls, you know? And I just brought the wiffle ball bat. I was like, let's just get your mechanics down. Wiffle ball bat. I got a bag full of wiffle balls. I got the real size wiffle balls, and then I brought golf wiffle balls. And I was like, if you can hit these golf wiffle balls, we're gonna get your swing working. You know?
Yeah.
And so we did.
Uh huh.
And he's hitting them. You know?
Yeah.
First he was like, your pitching's terrible. You know, he's giving me guff about that, and some of it wasn't. I was throwing them nice meatballs.
Oh, really? All right. Yeah.
But he finally starts hitting them, and then another kid came over, and he was like, can I play with you guys? And I was like, oh, cool. Now we're going to get a pickup game going. This is how you start to have fun, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, you know, don't worry about, you know, playing in the game. Let's play home run derby wiffle ball so you guys can get your confidence going. So we did it for like a second, and Mikey's like, I'm done. He's like, let's play monster. You're the monster, you know, to me. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, he's like, I don't want to play baseball. And then he started, you know, throwing the mitt, and he was like, let me go to the playground. And I'm like, all right, fine. So that's where I'm kind of like at with Mikey right now in baseball. I'm like, I can't push it on him, you know? But I desperately want him to like it. We're at the end, Bill.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a fun hour.
Yeah.
I like the new segment that Mike inserted.
Sure.
A lot.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. I do want to thank our sponsors again. That's Cork and Kerry Irish Pub.
Yes.
Fox's Beverly Pizza. Flood Brothers Disposal. Guinness Irish Stout, and Madden Funds. If you've enjoyed this last hour, you can go to hibernianradio.org and find it there, or you can search for us on iTunes at Hooley's Hooley Show. We did miss our pal Clayton O'Brien this week. Clay,
yes, we did.
Clay, we're sending love to you, cowboy.
That's right. Good vibes.
Until next week.
Bye.